Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
I live in Overbrook, Kansas, a town of 900, and the water tower says, don't overlook Overbrook. I just thought I'd tell you. You all know where Kansas is, don't you? Huh? Kansas is the state that trains basketball coaches and then sends them to North Carolina. Did you all know that? Where's Deese? Deese loves it when I say that. Well, it is a privilege and a pleasure, a personal pleasure for me to be here this morning and with my brothers and sisters, members of the Gideons International. Who are these men that are standing out on college campuses, your campus this morning, distributing God's Word? You know, we take the Scripture very seriously. Isaiah 55:11 says that when God's Word goes out, it will not come back to Him empty or void. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration there, I'm not a theologian, I'm not seminary trained, nothing, but I've been told that the word inspired there is theonoustis, which means God breathed. If these words that are in this book are actually breathed by God, there cannot be any error or mistake in it. Well, we hold to that. We stand on those truths and on those Scriptures. We think one of the greatest evangelistic tools to reach lost people around... Now, you got to pay attention, because I speak normally at 300 words a minute with gusts up to 600. So, and my wife is not here. My wife is normally sitting on the first row going like this. So if I start, you know, getting to just slow me down a little bit. But I promise we'll all get through this, I hope. So we stand on those promises, and we think that the Word of God is the greatest evangelistic tool out there. There's nothing that we can add to it to go out and reach a lost and dying world. Our brother here got up and talked about Europe. You know, Christianity today, one of the greatest mission fields in the world is Western Europe. I was just in Switzerland 2 weeks ago. I mean, you can't believe what's going on in Western. People sit there and cry. The home of Martin Luther in Germany. Now, a country of 80 million people, the home of the Reformation, the Wittenberg Church door is still there. I guess it's still there, where Martin Luther nailed his 99 theses or what, in October of 1519. Is my history correct? Close? 1517. Okay. I was close. Hey, I told you, I'm not seminary trained. But at any rate, 80 million people, and they might have 1.5% Christians. A million out of 80 million. I've had German Gideons literally break down and cry. Cry. Christianity has moved into the southern hemisphere. I read a book, Dinesh D'Souza's book, What's So Great About Christianity. He makes the point there are now more practicing Presbyterians in Ghana, West Africa, than there are in Scotland. See, so we think that distributing and placing the Word of God is the greatest evangelistic tool that can be used to reach a lost and dying world, Western Europe, where, you know, where we are at right now. But does it make a difference? Let me quickly, you got to stay with me on this. You know, you're all going to sit there and say, where is he going with this? Have you ever sat and your pastor starts an illustration and you're sitting there, where is he going with this? But let me talk to you just a little bit, tell you a story. Does it make a difference to place a Bible on a nightstand in a hotel room? Well, let me talk to you about one Bible that everybody in this chapel service today, one Bible has touched your life. Don't know a soul in here except a few of these men, but it's made a difference in your life. I was speaking in the First Presbyterian Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi a few years ago. They were without a senior pastor. They had a search committee looking for a new senior pastor. I was there. They had the Mississippi Convention, for the State Convention for the Gideons. I was asked to speak in this church, gave a 10-minute report on the work of the Gideons. And they had a visiting missionary there that day from Malawi, East Africa. I was very interested in speaking to him because I was scheduled to go to Malawi in May of that year, lead a team of Gideons in, working with the local Gideons there in Malawi, distributing testaments to the school children in Malawi. So I was very interested in what he had to say. He was eloquent. He was a very good speaker. And he closed his sermon with a story. He told the story of Tim Spencer. Now, Tim Spencer was born in Missouri, Webb City, Missouri, if you know where Webb City was. Born into a family of about 12 children. They moved around a little bit. They wound up in eastern Oklahoma, in Pitcher, Oklahoma. His dad worked in a lead mine. His older brothers worked in the mine. As he got older as a teenager, he even began working in the lead mine. It didn't take him very long to figure out that if he didn't do something different, he might wind up in those lead mines for the rest of his life. It was a good move. Right now, today, Pitcher, Oklahoma, used to have 3,000-4,000 people, has a population of about 10 because of the pollution from the lead mine. So it was a good move on his part. He had a talent. He could strum a guitar. He could put words together. He could write some little simple songs and whatever. As a matter of fact, he sang in the local tavern there in Pitcher, the Bucket of Blood. If you look him up, if you Google him, it says the Bucket of Blood. He sang it. So at any rate, he decided to do what Horace Greeley said and go west. And in 1931, stay with me, 1931, Tim Spencer went west to Hollywood, California to seek fame and fortune. While he was there, he met a couple of other young men, Bob Nolan and Leonard Sly, and they started a little singing group called the Pioneer Trio, and they were doing pretty good. They were doing all right. Leonard Sly, though, he said, what kind of name is Leonard Sly? So Leonard Sly changed his name to Roy Rogers. Now, some of you may not know who Roy Rogers is. Or his horse, Trigger. They got him up there? Yeah, Roy and Trigger. And Dale and her horse, Buttercup, or Buttermilk, whatever. Roy was one of my heroes. Had one of the biggest TV shows. You can still see it on the Classic Movie Channel today. They changed the name of their singing group to the Sons of the Pioneers. You can still go to music stores today and buy CDs of the original Sons of the Pioneers. They were so great in the 30s and 40s and 50s. They're making movies with Roy Rogers. I mean, they were big stuff. In 1949, Tim Spencer, he was writing a lot of the music for the Sons of the Pioneers, had like the number one hit in country music that year. Tim Spencer, I'm sure all of you will be whistling this now on the way to class this morning, wrote the great country western classic song, Cigarettes and Whiskey and Wild, Wild Women. Try that one on iTunes. It's there. You can find it. It's on iTunes. Cigarettes and Whiskey and Wild, Wild Women. You see, with success and fame and fortune, sometimes other things come with it. And Tim Spencer had become somewhat of an expert on cigarettes and whiskey and wild, wild women. But he had a wife at home praying for him. She would go counsel with her pastor. When Tim comes home off the road, he doesn't want me griping at him. He doesn't want me talking about going to church. He doesn't want to hear about the Lord. What can I do? Her pastor said, why don't you make a deal with him? You won't gripe at him. You won't get on his case. If you can write him letters when he's out on the road. Now, folks, it's 1949. There's no Twitter. There's no Facebook. There's no email. There's no texting. It's a big deal to make a long-distance telephone call. Trust me. I remember. Barely remember. But I remember. So she would write him letters and mail it to the next hotel. And when he checked in, there'd be a letter from his wife. And she would include verses of Scripture. In 1949, he checks into a hotel in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and there's one of his wife's letters waiting for him. Goes back to his room, begins to read it. She's got a verse. We have no idea what verse of Scripture it was. And on the nightstand is a Bible, similar to this one, placed by a local Gideon. And he begins to read God's Word, that verse of Scripture, in context. And that night, God gripped his heart. And as he read, he realized he was a sinner in need of a Savior and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And he was marvelously and gloriously saved. So saved that he now had a new vision and outlook in life. He wanted to see gospel music go out since he had that talent. And he started writing gospel music. As a matter of fact, he was the founder of a music publishing company still in business to this day. Manna Music still publishes Christian gospel music to this day. In the mid-50s, his son comes home from a youth missionary conference and says, "Dad, they were singing this song at this conference, and I asked the missionary there if he'd give me a copy of it, told him you're in the music publishing business, you might be able to do something with it. You might be able to work on it." So he looked at the music, he called the author, they worked on it, they changed a little bit of that. The Spencer family recorded it, one other group recorded it, and then they got a guy named George Beverly Shea to record the music and the song. And in 1957, George Beverly Shea, at the Billy Graham Crusade, Madison Square Garden, sang "How Great Thou Art" 99 times at the Billy Graham Crusade. Now, hold on here a second, folks. Don't let this get past you. The Lord used a Bible in a hotel room to reach the man who wrote "Cigarettes and Whiskey and Wild, Wild Women" to publish and distribute worldwide what some people consider today the greatest Christian hymn ever written. I'd say that Bible in 1949 made a difference by placing it there. Gideon's International is made up of over 290,000 men and women serving voluntarily in 194 countries around the world. Brazil, this week, is in convention. Their national convention is in Brasilia. We have 17,000 men and women in the country of Brazil distributing over 7 million copies of God's Word in just that country right there. We have 15,000 in India doing 10 million a year. But at any rate, we're in 194 countries around the world, and all we are, you seminarians, you go out and you begin pastoring churches. We're nothing more than an extended missionary arm of the local church. The Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world," was not given to the Gideons. It was given to the church, the local church. All we do as an organization is take your message, the church's message of God's love through His Word around the world, many times in places where the church can't go. We're an extended missionary arm of the local church because to be a member of the Gideon's International, you first must be a member in good standing of a local church. We don't send people to other countries. We are the people of that country. We don't send missionary Gideons to Brazil. All the members in Brazil are Brazilians. All the members in India are Indians. We're members in good standing of a local church, and we have to have the pastor's personal recommendation. If a member of your church wants to be a Gideon, we're going to call you. We're going to call you, email you, write you a letter. We're going to do something. We want to know if you approve, or else you can't join. And if you become a pastor of a church, you can't join, because this is not for pastors. This is a lay ministry of men and women. So you can't join. But we're an extended missionary arm of the local church also, because all the offerings, the funds that come in from God's people in churches anywhere in the world go only and exclusively for one purpose: the purchase and placement of the Word of God. That's it. When we receive an offering from you in whatever form or fashion, all of it's going to go for the purchase and placement of the Word of God. We have one objective and one objective only. We want to reach the lost. We want to see men and women, boys and girls, come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 2:8, probably for me, most clearly articulates, if you want one verse of Scripture, most clearly articulates our objective. Psalms 2:8 says, "Ask of me," this is the Lord speaking, "ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And that's what we want, the lost around the world. Through one-on-one personal witnessing, we try to reach the lost. And through the distribution and placement of God's Word around the world in a garden or a vineyard, you might say, five primary areas that no one else is tending: hotels and motel rooms, schools, colleges and universities, like right here this morning, the military, firefighters, EMTs, law enforcement, jails, prisons, penal institutions, and of course, next to the bedside in hospitals, physicians and dentist's offices. We go out in those five primary areas distributing God's Word. Today, if you like, your church can support your church, this chapel, whomever, you could support 136,556 full-time missionaries. I wrote that number down on purpose. 136,556 full-time missionaries. Your church, I don't know if you got 20 people, 50 people, or 5,000 people, but your church could support those full-time missionaries. At the industry tells us there are approximately 136,556 hotel and motel rooms in the state of North Carolina. We pray that there's a missionary just like this one on duty in every one of those rooms. The average lifespan of a missionary like this is 6 years. We'll come into contact with 2,300 people coming through that room and cost $5. That's good stewardship. I just checked out of the Hampton Inn over here, just down the street, the Hampton Inn. And as I checked out, the young lady said, "And how was your room?" They say that in every hotel or motel you stay in. And I said, "My room was beautiful. And let me tell you, I had a brand new Bible in my room. I really appreciate that Bible being there." Don't forget to do that when you check out of a motel. They'll remember it. And then sometimes the opportunity presents itself. I might give a testament to the young person if I see a little different look on their face or whatever. I ask them if they'd like a testament. I always carry a little dagger. This is not a full sword. This is just a dagger. Just New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. So, at any rate, don't forget that. But hotels and motels. Now, why wouldn't there be a Bible? Well, let me ask you something. Why wouldn't there be a Bible in a hotel room if one of these men put it there? I'm going to tell you a closely guarded secret. People steal Bibles. Did you know that? The Gideon's International. This is really close. You can't. Don't tell Dr. Aiken I said this, please. The Gideon's International is the only Christian organization in the world, that encourages theft. If you want to steal one of our Bibles, it's okay. Steal it. Now, I had an elderly Gideon come up to me one day and say, "You know, stealing Bibles is scriptural?" I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes. Proverbs 6:30. I went right to my testament and looked it up. You know what Proverbs 6:30 says? Proverbs 6:30 says, "Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy the hunger of his soul." Isn't that something? We are proponents of Bible theft. Because then these men will go and put one back. Hospitals too. You want to take one from a hospital? Hospitals, they only last 2 years. You want to know why they only last 2 years in a hospital? Because people take them. And it's perfectly okay with us. Last year around the world, not just here in Brazil, where they distributed over 7 million copies last year, not just in North Carolina, around the world last year, Gideon's International, with your prayerful and financial support, placed 78 million. 992,812, and I gave you the exact number because every one of them is important. That's 216,000 a day. That's 150 a minute. That's 2.5, if you run the numbers, it's 2.5 a second. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, 365 days a year, there's a Gideon or auxiliary member somewhere in one of 194 countries handing or placing a copy of the Word of God free of charge so that everyone can come to know Jesus in 194 countries and 93 languages. So that everyone can come to know Jesus. Isn't that simple? No, young man, does anybody read these things? Does it make a difference? No, a young man lives in Wyoming now. Met him a few years ago. One of the roughest, toughest, built, worked out, meanest guys you ever want to meet. He was so mean, he got kicked out of his university. He had a music scholarship at the University of Wyoming in Laramie. His older brother came home. He had joined the Marines. His dad said, "Look, you got to do something. You're doing nothing but getting in trouble." Enlisted him in the Marines. And he loved the Marines. He was rough and he was tough. And he just loved being in the Marines. Where do you send a guy that likes to drink, party, take drugs, and is rough and tough? What duty station would you give that guy? How about Honolulu, Hawaii? And that's where they sent him, Honolulu, Hawaii. Isn't that something? One night in a drunken brawl that they had in a hotel room, they just trashed the room. Woke up the next morning and on the floor was a Bible like this. He didn't know why at the time, picked up that Bible, threw it in his backpack or whatever he had, and stole that Bible and left. A few weeks later, he got into one horrific fight. I'm telling you, this guy is tough. He beat a fellow Marine so bad they put the guy in the hospital. I think he got medically discharged. He beat him so bad. Court-martialed him and threw him in a Marine brig for 90 days. Told him he could take one thing with him. What do you think he took? Took a stolen Bible from a hotel room. 90 days later, he didn't walk out alone. Him and Jesus walked out. Read it cover to cover. Read it from Genesis to maps. Wait, let me do that again. Genesis to maps. All right. Hey, if you're going to preach in churches, you got to know these things because it breaks the tension occasionally. What's he doing today? Married a beautiful Christian girl. They just had a son 2 years ago. Guess what that hard-drinking, drug-taking, mean, nasty Marine just got hired as a principal of a huge high school in Pinedale, Wyoming. He's doing great. Went back to college, finished his bachelor's degree, finished his master's degree. The guy's in the doctoral program. He's going next year sometime. He should have an earned doctorate in education. From his fingernails on up, you can't see it in that picture. From his fingernails on up and from his Adam's apple down, he's got $7,000 worth of Marine tattoos on him. This is one tough guy, but the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierced that crusty guy's soul, and he's doing great. If we're going to continue this work, we're going to come once a year to your church. Whether you're a seminarian and pastor in a church or a member of a local, we're going to come and we're going to ask you for your help. We ask you to come with us. Come with us to 194 countries. Come and be missionaries from here. Partner with us as together we go around the world. Missionaries are not people that cross the sea. Missionaries are people that see the cross. Come with us to 194 countries as we go out to reach the lost around the world. Why do we come to you? People ask us all the time, why do we come? Well, let me tell you why we come to your church, because you're the only group of people that know what I'm talking about. I don't need an interpreter. In Switzerland, they interpreted me in three languages because they speak French, Italian, and German. I had a German young lady speaking German interpreting for me. I don't need that here. You understand what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, little g, God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. The world is lost and blind. You understand what it's like to be lost and come to know Jesus. That's why we come to you. The world thinks this is a room, a chapel, a campus full of fools, because 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But, B-U-T, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And you understand the power of the God, the power of the Word of God. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. You are the one, only, single, unique group of people in the world that understand what we're doing and what we're about. And that's why we come to you, to your church, and as you go out and pastor, we're going to come and ask you for your members to join us. We're going to come and seek you out as a pastor. And we're going to train them how to be soul winners. We're going to send them back to your church, better church members. How can you help? Well, you can help very easily in three simple ways. One is just pray, and you pray generally, and the Lord will answer specifically. You pray generally, and the Lord will touch some hard-drinking Marine in a Marine brig. You pray generally, and the Lord will get some cowboy singer to publish and print How Great Thou Art. Now, some of us travel internationally. You know, I'm going to South Africa here at the end of the month. Sometimes they put food in front of us. That stuff's still moving. We only have one prayer. Lord, kill it. But and you can pray for us as we travel. But you know what we want you to pray for? Pray as these testaments go out, that people will come to know Jesus. Pray as these little green testaments went out today, that perhaps there's somebody even on this campus that needs to know Jesus, that people will get saved. Pray as we place Bibles in hotel rooms that people come to know. That's what we ask. The second way you can help, you may want to be a part of the Gideon's Christian Business Professional Men, businessmen and professionals. Come see us. We'll tell you what it is after you graduate. Pastors, we're going to come. Those of you that are going to be pastors, we're coming to you. We're going to ask you for recommendations for your church. We're trying to place 120 million copies of God's Word by the year 2020. We have this long-range 2020, that's what it's called, 2020 vision. I carry the little card with me to remind me. 2020 vision, 120 million scriptures, 10 million a month by the year 2020. We need more men and women in this ministry. We're going to come and ask you. Of course, the other way, we're going to ask once a year, come to your church, and just let us give a stewardship report and receive an offering, all of which is going to go for the purchase and placement of the Word of God. The average cost of a little testament like this outside of the U.S., not here, outside of the U.S., average cost, $1.24. Average cost, $1.24 is not a book in a box. Average cost of $1.24 is everything it takes to put a book in a hand. Gideon comes to your church and asks for an offering. If you give $1.24, you just put a little testament in somebody's hand. Isn't that something? In 93 different languages. So now it's a little different for me because now I usually go into the big close and I ask for the offering. And my wife really gets nervous because I'm not afraid to ask people to write a check for $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000. Because you're not paying for my travel or my meals or my hotel. You're paying to put testaments in people's hands. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to close. I'm going to say when you support the Gideons by joining, by praying, or by giving, the Lord takes that and He uses it for His glory. And let me just finish up by telling you, if I don't choke. I'm sitting in the front row of the First Presbyterian Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, trying to figure out where is this missionary going with this story? What in the world has Tim Spencer got to do? 1931, 1949, publishing, you know, How Great Thou Art, 1954 or 55, and Roy Rogers. Where is the relevance to that to me today? Where is he going with that? Well, the missionary's name was Dr. Stephen Spencer. And he's the executive director of the African Bible College. You can see African Bible College ads in World Magazine, this month's issue. I just saw one. He's the executive director, and he said, I have been a missionary in Malawi, East Africa, for 19 years. Because my grandpa, Tim Spencer, read a Bible in a hotel room and told me about Jesus. A Bible placed in a hotel room over 60 years ago is still telling people about Jesus today in Africa. Placing the Word of God makes a difference, and that's what we're all about. Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.